بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A Huzuri is a person who sees Rasool-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day in his life. So they are those selected servants of Allah Ta'ala who see Rasool-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day. Without fail, they see Rasool-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was one great buzurg living in Jalalabad, Shah Qalandar Sahib, and he was amongst them, and he had set off for Hajj. In those days, people were traveling on camels, and there used to be a camel driver that would be leading the entire caravan. It happened so that this Qalandar Sahib, that was this buzurg, he happened to encounter some problem with the driver and he slapped the driver. He had to slap him, and this experience of his just subsided immediately. Now a person who hasn't tasted this, he doesn't know what it is. But he's tasted this, and suddenly it subsides, he no more sees it any longer, so he knows what he goes through. A small thing like a drug, person who's hooked onto it, then if he can't get it, then he'll do anything to get it. He can't sleep, he becomes miserable, he'll fight with everybody, he'll break things. Why? That addiction of his has to be serviced. If he can't service his addiction, then he will fly into a rage, he can't contain himself. So this is a stupid thing like a drug, and a man cannot contain himself. Now things like the love of Allah Ta'ala and the love of Rasool-e Pak, some people that have really tasted it, then if they don't see it, and they don't see that level of taste and enjoyment that they are used to, and you can imagine what will be the level of anxiety, what will be the level of their pain. So he's crying, making dua, he's going to several people around Medina Munawara, pious, awliya, etc. Make dua for me that I have been deprived of this gift of mine. And nobody seemed to be able to help him. We see that you enjoy some privileges and some gifts, but as you progress and you are enjoying more and more, then what you need to understand is that you need to become more cautious of yourself. They say, Nasdikara Besh Buad Hirani. Those that have come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the closer you become, then the more careful you become. Like it's a small child, right? And the small child made a mistake. You asked him to fetch a cup of water. So he spills half the water and he brings the rest of the half. You will see him 4 or 5 years of age and he made this mistake. You expect this mistake of him. You don't really mind. But if the same mistake is made by a person who's 25, 30 years of age, he's spilling water all around and then bring it, now you become intolerable. Okay, of you, I can't expect this. A small child, all right, it's understood, it's expected, but you, we don't expect this from you. So as you grow up and the proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grows, then the caution also has to be greater and greater. It can't be like what it was before. For they say, Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyiatul Muqarrabin, that the small little deeds of the Abrar. Abrar are one group of the select servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their small deeds are counted as like the evil of the very, very select servants. One is the select and one is above the select. So they are the selected of the selected. So now, though they may seem to be good deeds, but at your level, then this is all expected of you. You have to become even more cautious. The father takes the small child in his arms, 3 years of age, 2 years of age, and the child will pull off the father's topi. He may pull his beard. He may slap him across the face. And the father will still admire him. Hey, see my child, how cute he is. Because of his age, you don't mind him doing this. In fact, you take an enjoyment when the child behaves in that way, that this is what he's doing. But now let the child grow 30 years and if he pulls the father's topi and pulls his beard and slaps him, then what happens? See? So at that age, it was accepted. But as you progressed in age, then this is no longer acceptable. So the same with righteousness and piety. As you grow in piety, then you need to become more and more cautious. With age also, you need to become more cautious. A small child, 13, 14, 15 years of age, he's expected to make mistakes. He makes mistakes, he stumbles, then it's overlooked. Because of his age, we don't mind him committing those mistakes. But as he progresses, then we don't tolerate those mistakes. Because we see, no, this person here is aged now. How can he make this type of mistakes? Okay. So, as you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as you age up, then you become more and more cautious. You need to become more and more cautious. The young person hasn't seen time. He has no experience with him. And he's expected to make mistakes. But the one that has been aged 35, 40, 45, he's seen a lot of things. He saw death. He saw people on the life support. He saw people involved in accidents. He saw people in traumatic conditions. He saw people in the state of despair. He saw people dying. He saw a lot of things. So when he's seen so many things, and then to his mind hasn't opened up, really there's something wrong with him. He saw so much, and when he saw so much, then something else is expected of him. You saw, I shown everything to you. You saw the highs and the lows of life. You've seen how people are collapsing in their lives and what picks them up in life. Now after all this, then you should make some, you should draw some conclusions. But you have failed to draw any conclusions, then really there's something wrong in you. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ The Quran Sharif says, the one has already come to you. One that has reached already 35, 40, and he begins to witness white hair already appearing in his beard, in his hair, the one hair, two hairs. No matter how much you try to cover it, or you try and dye it with mehndi or whatever else, but old age is old age. Old age has covered up with you. So now you need to understand that you need to brace yourself for the second phase of your journey. First phase is over, that phase of excitement, phase of enjoyment, phase of fantasy, it's all been passed. You've gone through that. Now you want that same thing to be replayed and returned, then it's not right. See? Sometimes, in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people make mistakes. As they reach 30, 35, then they complain, Mulana, you know, before we should make zikr, we should find a lot of enjoyment and excitement. Now, we don't find that level of excitement and that level of enjoyment what we used to experience when we were so much more younger. We started off so much of excitement, we still feel like crying, feel like bursting with tears. Now we progressed in age, we don't feel that. We feel our iman has gone weak. So this is just another shade of love. See, it's one flavor of love. One flavor of love you've already gone through. This is another flavor of love. In marriage, the same thing happens. A man that is just married, right, he never had any premarital relationship whatsoever. Absolutely no relationship, no fantasizing, no communication, no correspondence, no pornography, absolutely nothing, absolutely clean. And then he's come into marriage, then really marriage is a novelty for him. Now, first time in his life and he's experiencing. So every day it's a new adventure, he's exploring something new, some new hill, some new valley, some new lake he's experiencing every day, right? Why, it's first time, first hand experience. But now the same person here, say after 15, 20 years of marital life, and now he's got 3, 4 children, and all the contours have all changed now. Now, he wants the same novelty and the same excitement and astonishment that he'd experienced 20 years ago. It's wrong of him. Right? Now, that time of excitement is gone. So when he doesn't see the excitement, so he says, no, our love is not like what it used to be. So his conclusion is not right. It's a different flavor of love. When you were 20 years younger, it was a different flavor of love. It was excitement, it was fantasy, right? And now it's more maturity. Now, 20 years later, you still have the love. And the very the proof that you have the love is that if your wife is gone 2-3 days to her mother's place, you'll be turning from one side to the other side, and you're looking from one wall to the other wall, and you'll be completing one tasbih to the other tasbih, and the sleep will just not come. So the love is there, but just that it's a different flavor of love. Then it was a different flavor, now it's a different flavor. So the same in righteousness as well. In the first phase of righteousness, you will get a different flavor. And then when you move on, then it's a different flavor that you are going through. It doesn't mean that the flavor has changed, that you don't have the love of Allah Ta'ala. Here people make a big blunder, big mistake. They feel they don't have the love of Allah Ta'ala. Now all the goodness that they had when they were younger is gone in them. So the goodness is still there, just that the flavor has changed. So with maturity now, you need to change the flavor. You can't have the same flavor as you mature. You need to change the flavor. Sometimes you are taking something stronger when you are young. But as you grow in age, then you can't take that stronger things. You're taking so much of spice, very hot stuff you were taking when you were younger. Now you're going to take that, now you're going to experiment that, now you can't take it. Before you were taking so much of dry phrase and all these type of things. Now you're at the age of 50 and you want to eat like how you were eating at the age of 15, then obviously it's wrong. One is 15 and one is 50, two different ages, you see. So it's a different flavor. It's a different flavor. And with this difference of age, it's a different flavor, it's a different experience. It doesn't mean that your iman or your love for Allah Ta'ala has deteriorated in any way. As long as you are consistent, you're going on, it's a different flavor, and you need to have it like that. Because your age, and because of the phase that you are in, you need to have it in a different flavor. Like you'll find young children, they will be excited with sports. It's got a lot of action. But then those same children, as they grow up in age, then this type of action, etc., doesn't excite them any longer. Now they want something more mature, more relaxed, and more calm. So with your age, you require different things. Exactly the same in ibadat, in righteousness, etc. When you pass on from the one phase to the other phase, then you have a different experience. So you shouldn't feel now that I have lost out. No, it's not that you have lost out, it's just a different flavor of love. One buzurg said it in a different way. He said, "Are purane bahu to ma barabar." So old wife now is like a mother now. Before it was like a darling, now it's no more like, now it's like a mother now. You see, coming home now, "How are you, ma?" Before it was different, right? Now it's different. So you don't have the same approach as when you were young. So if that flavor has changed, then don't feel that now you have lost out. The love is still there, the muhabbat is still there. So people, they pull out and they draw wrong conclusions in their lives. They want to feel a certain type of a taste for them to endorse their love. See? So you don't become choosy about the type of love and the type of taste that you want. Allah Pak knows what type and what taste He needs to give you at which time. So you don't feel a particular taste in your ibadat, in your worship, etc. Never feel despondent, just carry on, continue your work. You need to hydrate yourself, just carry on hydrating yourself. Why? I mean, look at it, if you examine the whole thing, are you a worshipper of taste? Are you a worshipper of excitement? Or are you the worshipper of Allah Ta'ala? Do you worship the taste and the enjoyment? Or do you worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? You don't worship taste. Taste is by the way, it's just the perk, by the way it's coming through. So you don't worship that, you worship Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So if you are worried about the taste as though it would amount to the fact that you're not worshipping Allah Ta'ala, you're more concerned about the taste. So your love is not true then. If your love is true, then you're not worried about the taste. The taste may come or the taste may not come, but you are carrying on. Your way you're carrying on. So we are speaking about this Buzurg, Qalandar Shah, Rahmatullah Ali. And as I say, as you become closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then what is expected of you is you become more cautious, more particular. Many things were tolerated when you were younger, but as you're progressing, you're maturing, you're becoming more understanding, you're more relaxed. Now then you need to become more cautious. You need to become more careful. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had issued one fatwa about some animal being halal. So another Buzurg living far away, when he heard about this, he made a bad remark. He said, today this becomes halal, tomorrow I don't know what else will become halal. So when he mentioned this, all that enthusiasm that he had, that yearning and that goodness he had about Islam, and the goodness he had, the yearning and the enthusiasm, all just collapsed in him. He's trying, I was worried, I had a lot of enthusiasm and I had a lot of motivation in me, and suddenly this motivation and this enthusiasm has just collapsed in me. What happened? He's going to one person, to the second, to the third, and he doesn't understand. Just now there was a drive in me and everything was just natural. You know, I just get up, tahajjud and Quran Sharif and zikr and namaz. I was just moving so smoothly and so calmly. Everything was just happening for me. And now I see this just total collapse. There's no motivation, no drive in me. What happened now? He's asking one Buzurg to the other, to the third, to the fourth. Eventually one Buzurg told him, perhaps you have made a comment regarding a senior Buzurg, a great Wali, though you also a Wali, but there was a Wali that was even greater than you, and you had insulted him, though not in his presence, but in his absence you have insulted. As a result of you insulting him, what was in you all just collapsed. So he said, is it? He said, yes. What's the way now? He said, well, you go back, you go to him straight, ask him for an apology, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala willing, all that will be returned to you. So he knows also what he was missing, what he was enjoying, and now what he's missing. So he undertook the journey right till Gangoh. Approximately 500 to 600 kilometers he traveled. And there, when Muaz says that, I have forgiven you, as though everything that was lost, all just returned. So you see, this, when you come closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then you need to exercise that type of caution. So now you can't take it lightly like you used to take it previously. So we're talking of this Qalandar Shah, and he used to see Rasulullah Paksam daily, every day, without fail, he used to see Rasulullah Paksam. And suddenly this thing just collapsed in him, now he's not seeing. So he's going to one person, to the second, to the third. Eventually, someone told him, what you do, you go by the Rose Mubarak, and you'll find a black woman there, near the Rose Mubarak, and just go and tell her. She seems to be a mad woman, but you just go to her and see what happens. So he went by the Rose Mubarak, he saw that black woman, but he was not at all impressed. This woman here, what? Clothes are not right. There's no appeal in her, absolutely nothing in her. Old hag she is now, why must I go to her? Anyway, but now they told him he must go to that woman. So he said, let me try it. I tried everything else, let me go to this woman here. So he had hardly approached this woman. This woman told him, Shuf hadha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In life, this woman is telling Qalandar Shah, see, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see him in life. And immediately she showed it to him. So we understand several things here. One is this, that the caution that you need to exercise as you are progressing, type of caution that you need to exercise. And number two, we can't underestimate. We don't know who's who, who's reached what position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't underestimate. You don't know where he is, what he is. You don't base anybody based on his complexion, on his color, on his looks and all. You don't judge anybody accordingly. That's for Allah ta'ala to judge. It's not on lineage, it's not on color, it's not on nationality, it's not on anything else. It is his selection. He will select whomsoever he pleases. So the selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the heart. And then anybody brings that heart, be it a black, white, blue, yellow, green, whatever color person he is, but then his heart is right, Allah Ta'ala will definitely accept him. Our work is not to become judgmental. Yes, where there is a wrong, we correct the wrong. But we don't become judgmental about people's concealed actions, people's discreet actions. That's not our job to go and pass fatwas or to go and pass statements against their concealed actions. We don't know what they're doing. In the quiet, what's the relationship between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yasar is a slave. First class slave, 100% is a slave. So, it's a battle of Khandak, battle of the trench, and all the battle of the Khaybar, and it is a law. In Islamic theology, it's a law. If any slave has to desert and run away from his master and come to us, come to an Islamic state, then he will earn his freedom. If the master was a non-believer, he deserted him to come to us. The moment he comes to us, now he's freed. So nobody can interfere with him. So he escaped. He came to Rasulullah Paksa Rasam. But he complained to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, I'm employed by the Jews and they have entrusted me with their herds and with their flocks. Now, I have got this trust in my hand, what do I do? Now, in jihad sometimes, people are in dire constraints. They are in hunger, starvation. Many times it happened to the Sahaba, to Rasulullah, in starvation, like in Khandak. So Rasulullah could have told him very easily, well, you know, my Sahaba Kiram are in starvation and hunger. Just pass the goats to him. They can at least overcome the starvation and hunger. And as it is, we are in jihad against your own people. So that gives us the right to take away the animals. So Rasulullah didn't go that route. When he complained to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, that I've been entrusted with this thing here, what do I do? So Rasulullah told him, it's easy, just reverse the animals in that direction, turn them in that direction, and push them, Allah Ta'ala will do the rest. See, he's accepted Islam, but he's got that consciousness that I've been entrusted, a slave, but he's got that consciousness, that awareness, this is a trust in my hands, I cannot breach the trust, I cannot be dishonest in my trust, whatever it is, one or a million. But I am a Muslim. When I am a Muslim, then I can't breach the trust. Otherwise, I have breached my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the one end, I am speaking about connecting myself with Allah ta'ala, then I am breaching trust and becoming dishonest. Then it can't work. It can't work. You can't put fire and water together. So breach of trust and all that, and then you want to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can it work? So get that thing right. So he came and complained, I want to accept Islam, but this is the problem now. So Rasulullah just asked him, turn the animals in that direction and just push it in that direction, they will move. Exactly like Rasulullah explained, he turned the animals and the animals went in that direction. Now in the meanwhile, he accepted Islam. He's just accepted Islam, new, brand new. Meanwhile, the Jews are seeing from the distance that this Yasar has accepted Islam. So they couldn't contain the anger. They shot him or whatever they did. And there, he's dead, finished. Rasulullah is a witness that he's a Jannati. Hadn't performed one namaz, one roza, no sadaqah, no nothing. He just accepted Islam, but this act of honesty, and then Allah Pak seen this, and then without any deed, and then he's gained his Jannat. You see? So Allah Ta'ala watches the heart. That slave and your background doesn't mean much. Your lineage doesn't mean anything. Your complexion doesn't mean anything. Your nationality doesn't mean anything. It's at heart that you have come. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The soundness of the heart, it is that counts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person again with the same name, Yasar. He's also a slave. And it's night and pitch dark. At the distance, Rasulullah watches that there is a small home or a dwelling, and it seems to have millions of lights. You know, in this dark and this wilderness and this millions of light in one small dilapidated home, so it caught the attention of Rasulullah. He walked in that direction with another sahabi. He saw someone had just a small shelter open. It wasn't, no doors, nothing, just a shelter. So he saw him engage in namaz. And that lights that he seen was the lights of the recitation. Farishta and the Malaika were there. And the whole place was illuminated, covered in light, absolute light. And millions of light in a small, dilapidated building and this type of lights. So anyway, when Rasulullah entered that spot, so this Yasar was performing namaz. It's a different Yasar. One is the Yasar I spoke about just now. This was another Yasar. Both are Sahabis. So he perceived, he sensed that someone has come in. So he shortened his namaz, made salam. Rasulullah asked him, who are you? He introduced himself. And who do you belong to? I belong to so and so. This is my master. All right. The day Rasulullah approached the master, I want to purchase him. Ya Rasulullah, you can have him for free. No, I want to purchase him. No, Ya Rasulullah, you can have him for free. Like when Rasulullah had come to Medina Munawara and he wanted to construct the masjid. So it was a plot of land that was owned by some orphans. So when Rasulullah told them that I want to purchase this land for the masjid, he said, no, you can have it for free. He said, no. I want to purchase this. So exactly the same here. These people are, Rasulullah is insisting I want to purchase, and he says for free. So then they ask, this master asks, Ya Rasulullah, but you want to purchase him for what? Why you want to purchase him? Why? There must be some reason why you want to purchase him. Yeah, I want to purchase him to set him free. All right. Then he's for the sake of Allah, that I freed him. Ya Rasulullah, if that's the intention, that's your Mubarak intention and desire, then let it be, Ya Rasulullah, for the sake of Allah that I have freed him. Anyway, Rasulullah is delighted, he's happy. A few moments or some other time, maybe a day or 2 days later, again Rasulullah comes to the same direction of this Yasar, comes across his dwelling. But now, contrary to the first time, you see, now it's total darkness. Before there was lights and illuminated and the whole place was flooded with lights. Now the whole place is covered in darkness. So he approaches the dwelling, enters there, because it's a dwelling without doors, it's not no covering, it's just a shelter. Comes there and he sees Yasar in Sajda and he has already passed on, gone. He's already gone. So that lights and all that came, that lights was the recitation of the Quran Sharif, the namaz, etc. He is gone to the realm that is above. So he's taken all that light, everything with him. Just the body has remained, and real Yasar has gone. He's gone up, and the body has just remained. See? So whatever you do is going with you. The good, the bad, the righteousness, the acts of merit and reward, whatever you are doing, is to accompany you. It's not to remain here, it's going to accompany you. So those, when you were reciting and you were doing everything, it was with you. And you moved on to the next realm, so it's moved on with you. That's your comfort, that's your solace, and that's your return. So it's going to move on with you. So that's the place that you need to invest, you know. We make investments. Why? Because it's our security plan. It's our plan for our comfort, our security, our luxury. So when it's our security plan, then this is a place of non-return. We need to be most secure there. We need to be most relaxed there. We need to be most comfortable there. See? As we go on from there, there's no way that we can earn again. In this world here, you're lost and you can re-earn. You're lost and you can reinvest. But once you've moved on, then there's no question of you being able to reinvest again. You've gone, you've gone. You only come this way once. You don't get the second chance. So he's gone and he's gone, and all those lights also all disappeared. Everything is gone. So it's just one chance that you have. When you have got that one chance to invest for your own security, for your own comfort, then make the best of it. What must I do? How must I program myself? What type of planning and what type of security do I require for that realm? I prepare accordingly. Coming back to the story of this Qalandar Shah, and in a moment, this black woman says to him, see, this is Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Black woman, no complexion, old hag, but imagine what type of position she was enjoying in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that she could actually show the person in life what we thought of her and what she turned out to be. But it's such an incident of hope and expectation in the sight of Allah ta'ala, that no matter what you are, you try, don't worry about your external appearance of your social standing. Don't worry about anything else. Just you try, come in that direction. Don't look at your social standing, what people think of you, of your family lineage, of your nationality. Don't think of anything. Just think, how can I just connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct way, in the right way? And you will see, there's so much of hope for you. There's so much of hope. There is endless bliss, endless hope for you. So these are the Mubarak nights, one of the Mubarak nights. We don't know when is the real Shab-e-Qadr. And it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He didn't show us exactly which night, so that we can earn more. He had shown it to us that this is the night, then we would have only worked for that one night and that was over, right? Now He says, no, anyway, the 10 nights, look at it. Then, all right, as a matter of ease, look in the odd nights. So it's one of the odd nights. So at least we have 5 occasions. One occasion already passed, 21st, this is the second, 23rd. See? So these occasions will come around, but will we come around or not? That's a question mark. From last year Ramadan till this year, I know of at least about 5 or 8 prominent people that have left. Today, Hafiz Dawood Magda passed away. Prominent people. A few days ago, Maulana Yunus Patel passed away. Then before that, Chota Mota passed away. So many prominent people just went away. So isn't that something for us to reflect? We don't know who's going to be around. These years may come again, these days may come again, but are we going to be coming around again or not? That's the question mark, that's the thing that we need to think about. Allah Ta'ala grant us that tawfiq, that we appreciate these valuable, priceless moments. Maybe it is just a moment that will coincide with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hamara deen aur dunya dono jahan ka kaam ban jayega, dunya aur akhirat dono ban jayenge. That we don't know, in that one moment, our dunya is made, our akhirat is made. It's just one moment. But for that one moment, we don't know which is that lucky moment. The lucky moment. You know, when you say lucky moment, a fisherman, when he casts, right? Old fisherman is casting. So he's starting from 7 o'clock in the morning, cast a, nothing happening. 8 o'clock, he's still casting. Someone comes up to him, "Bhai, chacha, 1 hour gone, you didn't do anything. Why are you wasting your time?" Bye-bye, leave me alone. Let me do my work, you do your work. You know, some old people, they'll be very straightforward. They'll tell you as they need to tell you. But you do your work, let me do my work. Come 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, still nothing doing. Chacha, bye, I'm telling you now, don't waste your time. But you carry on, let me do my thing. Came out 12 o'clock, then he pulled out 100 kilo shad, right? Wasn't it worth it for him? Shad in the season is goes at about 35, 40, 50 rands a kilo. He pulled out a 200 kilo shad, imagine. Was it worth it for him or not? So, in which cast the thing is going to come out, you don't know. First cast you tried, 9 o'clock you tried, 8 o'clock you tried, 10 o'clock you tried, 12 o'clock, and it just, something just connected. So, in the same manner, you keep on trying. You don't know which one you will try, and it will just coincide with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Your dunya will be made, your akhirat will be made, who knows? Not only your dunya and akhirat, the dunya and the akhirat of your wife, of your children, your progenies to come, everybody's will be made. But try. Allah Pak likes the one that tries. Man arad al akhirata wa sa'alaha sa'ayaha. What Allah Ta'ala likes, He didn't say you must achieve it. What He says, you must try, toil, keep toiling. You keep toiling, in the toiling you die also, it's alright. As long as you toiled, as long as you worked, you strived, Allah Pak will love you. You didn't get 100%. You didn't come right till the top, but you tried. You kept on trying. It's a broken effort. A broken effort is better than no effort. You rather try and fail than failing to try. Don't fail to try, but try and fail is all right. Allah will say, no, you tried, I will push you through. But now you just relax, and you're not even trying, sitting against the wall. Now this attracts the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, the anger of Allah Ta'ala. I'm asking him to try. He doesn't want to try as well. Try how much you can, your broken effort. You are walking a few steps and you're slipping down, you're breaking, you're hurting yourself. Don't worry, you keep on trying. One day the grace of Allah Ta'ala will catch you, it will get you, and all your work will be just done. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.